D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
The First Amendment was written to protect the church from the state, but now it has been turned on its head to protect the government from your Christianity.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program. I am Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. America, unique among the nations, has a constitution guaranteeing religious freedom for its people. But that freedom is in the crosshairs today as the courts and the Obama administration have put homosexual and transgender issues on a collision course with the free exercise of religion. Later on today's program, Dr. D. James Kennedy will share with us how the Constitution is being twisted beyond recognition to silence Christians. And we'll share a preview of our upcoming TV special, Freedom in the Crosshairs, on how the religious freedom of Bible-believing Christians is being targeted like never before. And as we begin, I recently had an opportunity to sit down with constitutional attorney Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel and discuss the assault on Christian beliefs in a politically correct culture. Would you agree with the statement that the First Amendment has been stood on its head, at least as it relates to religious free exercise?
I think the First Amendment has not only been stood on its head as it relates to free exercise, but I think it's been jettisoned in many respects. In fact, you recently had the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights chairperson come out and say that LGBT rights trump religious freedom, and that whenever you have a religious exemption for anything, and we have lots of religious exemptions in state and federal law and local law, and we've had it from the very beginning because of our commitment to religious freedom. That individual, the chairman of this Civil Rights Commission, says that that's bigotry, that's discrimination. When you have someone in that position say something that far out, I think he's not only stood the First Amendment on its head, he's thrown it out. The good news, however, is there's a mixed view of what's happening at the Supreme Court with regards to religious freedom. The Obama administration took the position that there should be no ministerial exception with regards to hiring and firing, even within the context of a church. That the government should be able to impose its own will on a church and its running of its own mission. And the U.S. Supreme Court, fortunately, in a rare situation, 9-0, rejected that and sided with religious freedom. So there are some good things that are happening, but there are some real concerning issues. And I think even that Supreme Court with 9-0, it's very questionable what they will do when religious freedom, on the one hand, comes up against so-called LGBT rights, on the other hand, because that court is so ideologically driven. It may well side with the LGBT agenda.
Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter in which he used a metaphor of a wall that should have separated government from religious interests. Explain how that's been so widely misunderstood and how we're actually still using it against ourselves today.
The so-called wall of separation between church and state that Thomas Jefferson wrote, it has been completely misunderstood. It's been used by those who are secularists that want to silence people of faith so that you don't have any influence over government. And that's not what Thomas Jefferson meant. In fact, he never used it before that instance, and he never used it again. So if it was so important to him, he would have used it throughout his life. But in the context of what Jefferson said in that particular letter to the Danbury Baptist, and another letter in which he talks about the First and the Tenth Amendment, it's very clear what he says and what he means, and that is the wall of separation was between the federal and the state government. What he's talking about in the context is he could not impose national days of fasting and prayer on the people as the chief executive of the United States because the legislature, the federal government, could not impose that onto the states. There was a wall between the states and the federal government. And that's exactly what he says in another letter that the 10th Amendment, the general idea that what's not given to the federal government remains a right of the state, is a general description of what the First Amendment says, that religion is not something that the federal government can impose on the individual states. But when you look at Jefferson, for example, as a legislator in Virginia, he authored a bill for a day of fasting and prayer, and he imposed financial penalties on pastors who would not support the financial or the day of fasting and prayer. They would be fined. Now, that bill never passed, but that was authored by the same Thomas Jefferson who had the wall of separation of church and state. There is no wall of separation between church and state that would say that people of faith or religious values must be separated from the government. If there is any wall at all, it's that the government itself cannot intrude into and dictate the inner operations of religion or people of faith. It has to respect the rights of conscience of individuals and churches.
What evidence do we have that the founders did not envision a secular society?
The founders did not envision that we could exist as a secular society. They envisioned the fact that we could become a secular society. In fact, George Washington, in his second farewell address, said that there's two twin pillars that undergird the Republic, and you can't be called a true American if you labor to undermine those twin pillars. What are those pillars? Religion and morality. John Adams, the first vice president, second president, said, our Constitution is made only for a religious and a moral people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. The twin pillars are religion and morality. Morality of a people that are self-restrained, they understand right and wrong, they're a self-governed people. How do they become a self-governed moral people? Through the inculcation of religion. What is religion that they're referring to? Christianity. Not just Judeo-Christian morality, but Christianity in particular. The thing that made America different, why we became the biggest republic and the longest lasting republic, is our Christian underpinning. That was what made us a self-governed people. When we lose that, we lose our country. And in fact, Franklin says, I give you a republic if you can keep it.
We're thankful to have bold leaders like Matt Staver who are standing up for truth and against government incursion on Christian beliefs. But how did we get to this point? How have we reached the place where the First Amendment no longer protects religious exercise and Christianity is being marginalized as a threat to the public good? Dr. D. James Kennedy explains in this excerpt from his message, Has Religion Tainted Government?
The First Amendment states, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or forbidding the free exercise thereof. Now note carefully the subject of those two clauses. The subject is the church, ministers, clergymen, religious people, none of the above. The subject is Congress. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Congress shall make no law forbidding the free exercise of religion. The entire Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, were all written for one purpose, to restrain the power of the federal government and to protect the freedoms of the people. That's why people like Washington and Patrick Henry demanded a Bill of Rights, so that this new Leviathan that was being created would not consume the people's rights. Therefore, Congress was thereby restrained. Congress was further restrained not to limit the people's free speech, not to limit the freedom of the press, not to prohibit them from assembling peacefully, etc., etc. Now, it wasn't long after that until Thomas Jefferson, in a letter to the Danbury Baptists in 1802, said that there should be, quote, a wall of separation between the church and the state. Now, that phrase has come to replace the First Amendment in the vast majority of people's minds. If you were to ask the average person on the street, what does the Constitution say about religion or the church, they would tell you it says that there should be a separation between the church and the state. And if you ask them what the First Amendment says, they will say, that's what it says, that there should be a separation between the church and the state. That's not what it says. And that's not what it means. That comes fairly close to saying what it means, but it is a significant distortion on the First Amendment. It is a dangerous distortion of the First Amendment. And I hope you have seen the reason. The First Amendment limits Congress. It is a one-way street. It says nothing about what the church may do, what preachers may do, what religious people may do. It only limits what the Congress may do. So we see a complete reversal of the First Amendment, which is now seen to protect not the church from the state, but to protect the state from the church. So let us ask the question, in the light of the history of this country, is it somehow unconstitutional, against the First Amendment, and un-American to have some hint of religious influence affecting public policy? John Quincy Adams, President of the United States, said this, that the genius of the American Revolution was that it united in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity. Ah, my friends, that is far more than a hint of religious influence indeed. Yes, removing all religious influence on government is precisely what Article 52 of the Constitution of the Soviet Union guarantees. There shall be no religious influence on government. And others who are espousing similar things would lead us down that same primrose path of secularism and godlessness, which leads eventually to the gulag. Yes, my friends, America was born in a relationship with God. And I would ask you, as an individual American, how much are you influenced by spiritual and religious matters? Do you have a personal relationship with God? Do other people note it? Are others talking about the relationship that you have with God? Someone once asked that if you were arrested and tried for being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to convict you? That relationship is the most important relationship in all of the world, not only for nations, but also for individuals as well. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And blessed is that individual whose God is the Lord. And all those nations which forget God shall be turned into hell, where there is no religious influence at all.
As Dr. Kennedy shared with us, the First Amendment is being twisted beyond recognition. Though it was intended to protect the church from the state, it's now being used to protect the state from the church. Religion in this warped view is something to be practiced only in private, and increasingly not even within the walls of the church, as free speech is being attacked there also. The results have been a chilling effect on religious speech and practice, and a marginalizing of the Christian faith. Later this month, we will be airing a new special called Freedom in the Crosshairs. Here is a preview.
I think one of the biggest challenges and scariest things, frankly, right now going on in America is a threat to an individual's religious freedom and liberty.
The folks who are the liberal elite feel as though our deeply held biblical values, moral values, don't count. And therefore, whatever your rationale is, if it starts with the Bible, keep it to yourself and do what I told you to do.
In my time in Washington, which is nearly 30 years, that I have never seen the daily clampdown on religious liberty, the rights of conscience, a restriction of religious liberty more than now.
A case in point of religious liberty on trial can be seen in an ongoing battle in Iowa. Churches and even pastors could run afoul of the law if they uphold what the Bible says about human sexuality.
We all know that every church should be free to both teach its religious beliefs and to use its house of worship in a way that's consistent with those religious beliefs. That's a basic, fundamental principle protected under the First Amendment. But an unelected commission in the state of Iowa has threatened that basic freedom of religion.
The Iowa Civil Rights Act has now issued guidelines, including for churches, geared toward accommodating transgender individuals. The guidelines state the new law does require that individuals are permitted to access those restrooms in accordance with their gender identity rather than their assigned sex at birth.
If the Iowa Civil Rights Commission had its way, it would have the authority to censor what a church teaches within its own four walls about human sexuality, biological sex, and gender identity. And secondly, it would also have the authority to mandate that churches open up their restrooms, their locker rooms, and their shower and changing facilities to anyone who chooses to identify as a member of the opposite biological sex.
The guidelines note places of worship, for example, churches, synagogues, mosques, etc., are generally exempt from the Iowa law's prohibition of discrimination unless the place of worship engages in non-religious activities which are open to the public. For example, the law may apply to an independent daycare or polling place located on the premises of the place of worship.
This commission has no business trying to determine what is and is not a religious activity. They're incapable of making that determination. Christians can no longer assume a live and let live mentality. That same grace will not be extended to you.
Open your ears to his truth.
Reverend Michael Damastis is the pastor of the Fort Des Moines Church of Christ. With the help of the Alliance Defending Freedom, which was founded in part by Dr. D. James Kennedy, Pastor Damastis has now filed suit on the state of Iowa to get this law declared unconstitutional.
The pastor of the church was deeply concerned about the ramifications of this law, about being penalized by the government simply for adhering to biblical teaching and operating his church according to biblical teaching. So he reached out to Alliance Defending Freedom. We filed a lawsuit asking a judge to stop this unelected commission from trying to intrude, burst through the walls of the church, control how a pastor preaches from the pulpit, and how the church even uses its own house of worship.
I really believe, as a Christian, if you live out your faith, it's going to come up against the culture if you truly live it out. And there's going to be a battle. There's going to be headbutts. And that's because there is the worldview that says there's only one way, and it's Jesus. And there's the worldview that says, no, that's not true. It's this. And so that's really what it's always about.
All of us in Christ have the Holy Spirit.
The Iowa Civil Rights Commission did issue a statement soon after the lawsuit declaring the Iowa Civil Rights Commission has never considered a complaint against the church or other place of worship on this issue.
They did not back down and say, oh, we're so sorry, never actually intended to apply it to churches. No, in their legal filings to the court, they doubled down. They said, we absolutely have the constitutional right to apply this law to churches, to decide what church activities are religious and are secular, and even went so far as to analogize churches to for-profit businesses. They have no idea what they are dealing with. Churches are treated specially under the First Amendment. They're not a business, and this unelected commission has no authority under the law to try to control churches like it does a business.
Critics note the irony of Iowa's state slogan, which is even spelled out on its flag, "Our liberties we prize and our rights we will maintain." But do those liberties include the right to disagree with political correctness when it comes to human sexuality? Furthermore, it all doesn't just stop in the Hawkeye State.
Iowa is the first, but it is not alone. We also recently became aware that the state of Massachusetts is also attempting to do the exact same thing, and their law imposes criminal penalties. So pastors in the state of Massachusetts could face thousands of dollars in fines, as well as jail time, simply for upholding biblical truths about human sexuality and basic biological differences between male and female.
Astoundingly, in a nation where we have a First Amendment, Christian speech is being illegally pushed out of the public square. And now government is even presuming to tell churches what can be preached, taught, and practiced within their own four walls. The situation is rapidly deteriorating, and the alarm bells need to be sounded. That's just what we plan to do at D. James Kennedy Ministries. And here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. As you've seen on today's program, we have reached a crisis point in America. The founders intended for religious freedom to flourish and for government to stay out of the affairs of the church. Over the years, that became twisted. The idea of the wall of separation between church and state, as Jefferson called it, was twisted in the 20th century to mean Christian speech and prayers couldn't take place within the government. And now, in 2016, we have a state commission in Iowa telling churches they can't preach anything someone might find offensive. In Houston, the mayor subpoenaed the sermons of pastors she disagreed with on a political matter and attempted to haul them into court. It's imperative to get the word out on cases, and that's what we intend to do in our special program, Freedom in the Crosshairs, which will be airing later this month. But we need you to stand with us by giving a donation to help us produce and air this powerful program, as well as continuing the other important work of this ministry. We'll thank you by sending you your own DVD copy of Freedom in the Crosshairs as soon as it's finished. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Our team is finalizing this powerful special even as we speak. Recently, a retired airman was forcibly removed from the retirement of a friend for mentioning God during the military flag folding ceremony. A Navy chaplain was brought up on charges for sharing the biblical perspective on sexuality with those who specifically came to him for counsel. The number of these cases grows by the day. The First Amendment has been twisted beyond recognition, and we can no longer count on government to obey it. We, the people, need to stand up and call our courts and legislatures back to a true understanding of religious freedom. Please help us produce and broadcast the special program, Freedom in the Crosshairs, and to continue our other work. We'll send you a DVD copy of this vital program as soon as it's finished later this month as our thanks. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
For years, those who have seen the handwriting on the wall have been warning that religious freedom and the homosexual agenda have been on a collision course with one another. And most of our opponents on the left no longer bother even denying that. This clash of worldviews is nowhere better exemplified than in the comments of Kai Feldblum, a commissioner serving on President Obama's Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. When she was asked about the conflict between religious liberty and the sexual revolution, she said, "I am having a hard time coming up with any case in which religious liberty should win." And in his dissent from the Supreme Court's landmark same-sex marriage case, Justice Samuel Alito issued this warning: The majority, he said, compares traditional marriage laws to laws that denied equal treatment for African Americans and women. The implications of this analogy will be exploited by those who are determined to stamp out every vestige of dissent. It did not take long to see how prophetic Justice Alito's remarks were. In September, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights issued a report on non-discrimination. The report claims that phrases like religious liberty and religious freedom are actually mere code words for discrimination. Here is the actual quote. "These are code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance." Dear friends, if this astonishing and prejudiced declaration does not take your breath away, you are not paying attention. According to an American government agency, the First Amendment freedoms that were articulated by the founders and purchased by the blood of patriots in every generation are now nothing but a pretext for bigotry, a pretext that must be removed to make way for the homosexual agenda. Increasing sectors of your government believe that if you hold biblical values, you are an intolerant bigot. Many Christians have ignored the warnings for years, but they can no longer do so. The First Amendment is under a full frontal assault in America, and we had better wake up to that truth or lose our freedoms for good. America's greatest hope is in the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the light of His coming, we understand our sin and our need for deliverance from the wrath of God against sin. And by His astonishing grace, we see that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for those who will trust in Him. This is the message of hope and reconciliation we have been given to proclaim to the world. The enemy of our souls would like nothing better than to silence this message. Yet we must stand for truth so that men and women, boys and girls, may hear of the love of God offered to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for standing with us. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
We got a knock on the door.
The officer came by the door.
And he let us know that the school had called him.
And we're wanting to tell you that if he comes back to school with any scripture verses, there will be trouble.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.